from the desk below. All right, welcome back from the Desk of Low. The guest I have on the phone with me is family. He's the one who's responsible for that fire intro that y'all be hearing before the interviews. Without further introduction, he's releasing a fire mixtape. It's called In the Den. Without further introductions, I have my guy, DJ 110.
Yo, what's up, family?
What's going on? I got it right this time. It wasn't 110.
Hey, 108 enough, so we're always still gonna be 110 somewhere, you know what I mean?
So you've been on the go. You were working on the Den mixtape for a while now. I was just curious too, what was the inspiration behind that? Was it because all the artists that you were bringing through in the Den, or did you kind of always have this planned?
Well, honestly, man, before the Den tape came about, I was actually working on an EP that was just going to be basically my beats. I was going to produce that with my beats and artists that I knew from across the, you know, some guys that I met, you know, locally, and artists from across the country that I met via social media. But that kind of came to a halt. But the actually Den tape mixtape came about when the That's Feeling team, we were having a listening party for the new Go Get It 2 EP. And I was playing some old songs that we had not released out. And Mark Sox was like, yo, he said, man, we got a lot of good songs out there, man. So we came together and, you know, we thought about just putting out a Den tape, a mixtape, man.
Okay. And it will be on streaming sites, or it will be only on...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be streaming sites too, man. So it's going to be on everywhere, every streaming site that you can think of, so...
So when you were putting together this mixtape too, was it hard like narrowing down the guests too? Because you have people like North Street, you got Poetic on there, but you also have like some names that I never even heard of, like a Shay Dollars or Leanne.
Yeah, Shay Dollars, I haven't actually met her, but Hits in the Street, Smash Hits, the co-host of The Den, he actually introduced me to her. And because I was looking for some variety on the Den tape, you know, not just, I wanted some females to represent on the Den tape as well. So he reached out to her, and he brought the Millionaire's Estate along as well.
Okay. So I'm guessing, too, that Hits in the Streets had a lot of input in this as well.
Yes.
Okay.
But majority of the people that's on the tape that I had already been acquainted with or I had done some stuff with in the past, or planning to do some stuff with in the present, you know?
Okay. Yeah, so did you produce the full tape, like every single beat is produced by you?
No, this is pretty much just their songs, you know. Some songs most of these songs on this mixtape are exclusive, so a lot of artists out there that's we're just trying to, you know, trying to move forward and help each other out. You know, it's some great music out here. So not only song I produced on here was actually the last song.
Oh wow. Oh, with D Stone, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did produce that song, so.
Okay. So I get it now. So it's like a little bit of an exclusive too, because like For example, too, like the Oprah track, Mark Sox only has that on Bandcamp, I believe.
Yes. We decided to put that on there because a lot of people still, you know, that's a great song and people need to hear it, you know.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, I was curious too because, like, you know, your fam and everything too. Did you ever have to, like, just say, like, yo, I may have to get some of that for the mixtape when you were hearing, like, the making of Go Get It too? Like, were you sitting down in one of the tracks or, like, maybe when, like, Disappoint You or Yeah, Yeah by E. Smitty or Wizard's Beast? Like, did you have to just be like, yo, I may have to get that for the actual mixtape? Because you said there's exclusives as well.
Yeah, no, so I never heard any of the Beast songs. I've never heard those before. But like, the songs with Smitty, I actually recorded. I think I recorded those songs. So I already heard them, you know. So that was it with that. But I wanted to put that on the den tape for people to hear.
Okay. So I gotta ask too, because a lot of people have been asking, they're like, yo, who made the beat? And I just tell them straight up, it's like, that's DJ 110. I was curious too on, was that a beat that you just had lying around? It's like, yo, I can probably tweak this a little bit. Or did you just like, straight up make that for the show? Cause you're like, I just want to give my thanks, right? That beat is fire.
So, but the intro for you?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, I hit you up months ago and I was like, yo, I said, I think you need an intro. And that was a conversation that we left alone, and months went by. So I was just sitting around, and every time I listen to podcasts, you know, I said he needs an intro. You know what I mean? You know, I was like, he needs an intro because I did. If you listen to Wiz's podcast, I did his intro.
Yes,
I did Smitty's intro for The Real Food. So I was like, hey, I said Lo needs an intro, man, and. So I just sat down one day, man. I was just going through some samples I had. Cause I really put a like a. I came to a stop on making beats, but I was inspired by just by trying to create this. And then one day I think I went through two samples, and the third one I heard, I was like, "This is it right here." I said, "This is it." So I put it together. I went online, I downloaded your audio so I can scratch that in. So, and it was just the building process of it, though.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how the hell he got that audio, but I don't
know. With the world of the internet, you could do anything.
Oh, yeah, that's what I love about the internet. Because you can connect with anybody through digital, through the digital era nowadays, too.
And, yeah, man, it's beautiful.
That's really inspiring to hear how you made, like, the other teams as well, too. That's a very family affair type of thing.
Hey, I was happy that you liked it, man. I was like, hoping he likes it.
Oh, hell yeah. As soon as I heard it. Well, when I first heard it, I was like, okay, where this is going? And then when I heard it drop, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is the one right here.
Yeah, I love that thing, man. I think it kind of brings, like, it's a nice intro, too, man. It's like, because what you talk about and everything, it brings the essence of your show. You know, it's like it's a great intro that I think, you know.
Yeah, because, like, it's, like, sometimes, like, I even have to remember, like, some of the stuff that I do where people tell me. I'm like, damn, I'm just focused, man. I'm, like, I'm not worried about, like, you know, what happened in the past. It's just, like, I'm worried about what's happening right now. And they're like, dude, that intro is, like, some, like, storybook-telling stuff you do. I'm like, I'm just being me. But that's my guy 110, though, who made that. Hit him up for some instrumentals if you want.
That's right, man. It describes you, man.
Well, I appreciate it, bro, and the fans love it too.
Thank you.
So when you were coming together with the Den mixtape as well too, is that the proper name for it, the Den? Because I heard it early. I won't front on everyone else. I heard this early.
Yeah, we're calling it Den Tape 1.
Okay.
Yeah, instead of mixtape, we're calling it the Den Tape.
Okay. And was it hard, like, actually narrowing it down to, like, 18 tracks? Because you must have had, like, a lot of things, like, laying around. It's like, damn, this is going to be hard to narrow down.
Man, I wanted more, actually. You know, honestly, man, we had to have a deadline for it. It was actually a couple. It probably would have been, like, 25, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because some of the people that I reached out to, it was like their timing, you know. It was like, hey, one guy wanted me to produce a beat for him. I was like, yo, it's like, I got some beats, but I was like, just send me something, you know. I mean, I wanted to give people another outlet, you know. That was the thing about the Den Tape, you know. It's like, hey, I'm doing it for me, but I'm doing it for you as well, you know. And but you know, honestly, you know, but I'm well. pleased with this tape, man. I think it flows pretty good from start to finish. And when I was putting it together, I didn't know if I wanted to actually like scratch songs and mix songs, because it could have became a 2-hour tape. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
if I would have did that, but you know, I think when I created it, you know, I wrote down the list, you know, I went through the songs and it was like, okay, how do I want to start it off? You know, it's like listening to what people listen to today. It's okay. And I originally had another song first, but, you know, North Street, I decided to use him first because he's from the same hometown I am, Zebulon, North Carolina. So I was like, what better way to start the mixtape? Then tape is with a home team guy, you know what I mean, from my town.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense there. Because it's all about the intro and how you present it, too. So when you had, like, North Street at the beginning, too, I'm like, there's got to be some sort of backstory behind why he's the intro.
Yeah, he's from the hometown, man, so I had to put him first.
Okay. Wow, that's actually inspirational. You said for North Carolina?
Yes, North Carolina, yeah.
Wow, you must be loving hip-hop right now, because North Carolina is, like, literally, like, running the game right now.
Man, you know, growing up in North Carolina, man, we were always hip. We always had that hip hop, but it was like truly undiscovered hip hop back then. But NC has always had some dope artists, man. And you know, like I said, being raised there and born there, I learned a lot from that culture of hip hop.
So I was curious because like it's really because like some of the most classic albums came out there, like. But at the time, they weren't received as classics. But as time went on, people go back to that Little Brother album, and it's like, it just blows people's minds. It's like, yo, this has been around for years.
That's right. It's amazing, man. And, you know, like I said, NC has always had talent. You know, it's like, it's always been there, but it's just like for people to discover it. You know, people in North Carolina know it, but, you know, the rest of the world's like, okay, what is this? You know what I mean? But, yeah, that Little Brother, man, it's dope.
Well, you being a producer and composer as well, that must give you a lot of inspiration knowing that Knife Wonder came from there.
Oh, man, trust me, it does, man. And when you see that, like, NC is booming, man. And Knife Wonder is, like, it's truly dope, man, and very inspirational.
Yeah, this guy's on the Black Album for the people who don't know, but you should know if you're listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're coming together to going through, like, North Carolina artists, too, like, did you know that North Street was going to be the one because you've known him for some years, or did you have, like, other North Carolina artists, like, you were considering?
Man, I had found North Street out because I hadn't been home in a while, man. And one of my homeboys that I grew up with, he had posted a link of North Street's music one day, and I was like, "Yo," I was like, "I said he's from Z Town, you know, we call it Z Town for short." And I was like, "I said, yo, he's dope, you know." It's like, and I realized it's my hometown has some talent there. And so me and North Street started building. I was actually going to have him on a song with my EP that I produced, but we never got around that. So, but that, you know, this song right here, I was like, hey, send me something. You know what I mean? I said, send me something nobody's heard. So he sent me this song, and I was like, man, this is an incredible song.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to put this on the mixtape as the intro.
That's right.
Okay.
You like the intro?
Oh, yeah, that intro, too. Because that's what, like, when I listened to it, too, I'm like, North Street, too. I'm like, that was the very first time I heard of it. Because, like, the beloved Fleece, I got to keep it all the way to mill. When I heard it, I was like, damn, you know, I mean, this kid is nice.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, it's truly nice. And, oh, I think overall, man, this dent tape, it will please the listener's ears, man. You know, when I put the tape together, I was going to do an interview with Beast, and I was like, I said, I need something to ride to. I had already had my list of songs down. I said, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm like, but actually, you know, this, the way I recorded it was actually how the tape's going to go. You know, I didn't have to go back and make no changes. I just had to get Mark Sox to confirm it that he liked it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, as being the general and as the CEO of that feeling, he has to like it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, can't just be saying like, yes, yes, yes.
So I was like, hey, listen to it. I sent it to you. I listened to it. I said, man, I wrote for the whole hour. I was like, man, this is real good music. You know what I mean? Especially to be a lot of undiscovered artists on there that people never heard of. So I was like, well, I think people are going to like it.
Well, and also, too, that's how, like, most people actually, like, find other artists, too. Because, like, they may work or an artist they follow closely appears on this mixtape, and then when they hear, like, some of the other artists on there, because, like, some people just let the song, like, the album play from the first song they like, and then you let it play, it's like, oh, what's this?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's when, you know, reaching to the people that's on it. I'm like, hey, let's get this money together, you know what I mean? And I'm here to help you, and let's build up something, man. I think the world needs to hear it.
And it's like what you said, too, like, the world does need to hear a certain talent that needs to be out there, too. And I know we're talking about North Street, too, but it's just, like, the whole name and how, like, he presents, like, North, too. He spells it with an F, too. It just stands out because he could have spelled it, like, the regular way.
That's right. Man, I'm telling you, man, this tape, man, I'm truly, truly happy to be a part of it. You know, like I said, there's a lot of great talent on here. You know, Ari the Great, you got Shay Dolla, you got D Stone, Dream Adia, bringing that R&B style. You know, the Millionaires Estates, they from Decatur, Georgia. OG Tripp, he's from Augusta, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, man, so, yeah, I went as far as Augusta. I had some guys in Cali that was supposed to send me something, but it didn't work out. But you'll hear them in the future, though.
Okay. Yeah, Canada, we have, like, a very undistinctive sound, I like to say, too, because, like, it's, what's the word I'm looking forward to? It's, like, the soundscape out here is kind of all over the place, because you can find something from, like, a Drake-sounding artist to, like, somebody who sounds, like, straight up, like, I don't know, OC.
Yeah, that's right. And it, with this tape, you know, I kind of wanted to keep almost, you know, songs in vain of each other.
Yeah.
Because if I would have went too far to the left, to the right, people are like, I kind of could have lost the crowd. But I think overall, this tape, you know, is well diverse, you know, here. But I think it's some great, good damn music on this thing, man.
Would you ever consider, because you could continue in the series as we spoke
about before. Oh. Yeah, this is volume one, so we're going to come up with volume two. I think I'm going to do volume two. I think it's going to be a boom bap. I was talking to Smitty about that I think I want to do on the next tape. I'm going to do an all boom bap.
Yo, I like how you brought up Smitty, too, and boom rap, too, because I was listening to the Go Get It 2 album this morning, too, and, like, I forget what song it is, yo, but Smitty has this one verse where he said this thing so fucking seriously. It's like, dude, you really killed that, but you could tell he was serious trying to get this verse. I really wish I remembered right now.
Was it the Billy Clint one? Nah, he was singing and kind of rapping on that one.
Oh, man, you know, I'm going to have to pull up my Dropbox for this, too, because, like, some of the things, too, like, this is the thing where I didn't even expect some of the things coming, too, because I never got to listen to unreleased music. Like, I'm just, like, a regular fan. But when this whole podcast started going out, people's like, yo, listen to this. That's how I found Dad Feeling. It's like, because I heard it before everybody else. Yeah. So, like, it's, like, one of the things that's a kind of a, like, a bonus for it, too, because you get to hear all this dope music before it's even released, too. It's either on Lessons or Fuck the Rules. It was one of the two.
Oh yeah, fuck the rules, man. Smitty, man, and I told Smitty and I told, you know, the team, but I said, man, on this album, man, that it's some dope ass shit, man. And everybody, you know, Smitty, you know, we best friends, but I was like, yo, and I've always been like the ones like, dude, you actually went like somewhere I didn't think it can go. I knew you can go.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, dude, it's like, you're dope as hell, you know?
It's like, yo, but when you did that one verse, you know, it's like, you just, like, shut the whole room down. It's like, damn.
Yeah, man, that shit is incredible, man. And when I listen to it, I'm like, yo, this shit is nice. You
know? So, you, like I said, too, you have some of the extended dad feeling as well too, like poetic, and I may say your name wrong, my G, but is it diverse?
Diverse, uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah.
I was close. Diverse, okay, I get it now.
Yeah, diverse, yeah, you got it.
Did you reach out to them too, or did you, because that relationship was already like, you knew like...
Yeah, that was, Mark reached out to them, because, you know, like I said, putting the tape together, he was like, yeah, I'm going to reach out to Poetic, and J-Rod, Eric J-Rod too, so, but J-Rod's on the, he's on the go get it as well, but Poet is on the go get it.
Yeah.
As well. So it's already family related anyway. So it's always the team thing, but most of the songs are from the team. You know, you see as Mark Stiles got Deez on it, Smitty, Poetic, and J Rod, like all affiliated with the team.
You know, I have to ask because this has given me like man, I can't believe I forgot the DJ's names. I know Gangsta Grill. This is giving me like DJ Drama and DJ Clue vibes too.
Yeah. Yeah, Drama, man. Drama, the Gangsta Grill series, man, I missed that. I missed that era, you know. And when I was, you know, like I said, putting the tape together, man, it's like, how do I want to do it? You know, there's several ways you can do it. And I didn't want to do a lot of talking on it. You know, I think I have like maybe three or four spots. I'm actually doing like little talking here and there, but I wanted the music to kind of speak for itself and not take away from it. So, you know, when I started doing my my drops over it, I got to the point I was like, you know what, that's enough.
Yeah, because like some of the time,
I don't want to hold chill it.
Because sometimes people go a little bit over it too. It's like, okay, I'm trying to enjoy the beat, the drama chill.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can overkill the beat. It's like, yo, people trying to listen to the song and see what they're saying.
I remember the first time I ever heard Gangsta Grills. We were making grilled cheese, and my OG was like, Gangsta Grizzles, as he's flipping the cheese, the grilled cheese. I was like, man, I can't look at this in the same anymore.
Yeah, and that's how, you know, kind of went between the songs. I put my 110 between it because it's flowing, it's in between the songs. Like, yo, this is dope. You know what
like
I mean?
How it fits so in between.
Yeah, that's why I kind of put that there to kind of make it flow easy.
Okay.
You know, instead of me talking, that's what you hear, the 110 part.
So when you were actually putting this tape together too, I still never seen, well, I might have seen the cover up, but I might be tripping though. Did you have to play around with different cover art though, or did you just like make it yourself?
I got a scene to the cover, man. Yeah, the cover, man, is dope, man. I had the idea in my head of the cover, but you know, when we actually start doing the photo shoot of it, you know, we had to have a model in there and a couple of things, and we took a lot of photos, but the actual cover was the one that I set out, you know, had in my head and the vision of it.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I'm gonna send it to you once we get off the phone and stuff. But okay.
Yeah, because I just quickly checked your page. And I was like, no, I didn't see it. So I was like, yeah, I know, I'm not tripping.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that cover, I think the cover's dope, man. We kind of took it back retro a little bit on the cover.
Okay. So when you were, when you're coming together, too, with the squad, too, one of my most favorite pictures of you is you holding the big-ass dad feeling Mickey. I was like, yo, that picture is classic right there.
Oh, man.
I was curious, what's it like going on tour with the team?
It's fun, man. I mean, you know, learning. We're still learning each other, you know. Like but me and Smitty, we've always known each other.
Yeah.
And Beast and Mark have known each other. But to actually, you know, come together collectively, you know, these two different worlds, and it's fun because you're still learning people, man. And that is, and you know, you're chasing that goal and everything. But to be on the same page is a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah,
you know, I wouldn't want to be with nobody else, man. But this team you can actually talk to, and they'll listen. You know what I mean? Nobody judges each other, and your opinions matter. You know, we do listen to each other. You know, if it's not right, it's not right.
Yeah, it's not just like a one-way street.
Yeah, it's not a one-way street, and, you know, it's like even with approvals of covers, you know, when Mark sent the cover out, I was like, yo, I think they're both dope, you know what I'm saying? And everybody was like, yo, I like that one. I was like, okay, I go with that one, because it's dope, you know what I mean? But I think everybody's opinions matter. You know, we're not that big of a head to say, man, hell, y'all. Everybody listens, which is good.
And that's what makes a strong team, too. I still find it crazy that how you and Smitty grew up together, and then, like, all these years after, you meet, like, Mark and Wiz, who, like, known each other for years, too. Like, it's like destiny.
Man, it's crazy, man. Like I said, me and Smitty met in eighth grade, man, and we've been inseparable since then, and it's truly good when you can still share your passion, you know, not only, you know, together, but as a best, your best friend is your, you know, he shares the same passion as you, and that's incredible. Yeah. You can't beat that.
And staying friends after all the years, yeah, too, because most people fall out after high school.
That's right. Yeah, man. Like I said, me and Smitty, I record Smitty's podcast at my place, so it's like, you know, we're always recording, you know, he's always like, I gotta put something down. It's like, hey, come over. Yeah. You know, I'll go. So I go to his house and we record there, but, you know, we're always seeing each other, man.
And for the people wondering, too, if you guys want to actually go back and hear the backstory of what we're talking about, Dad Feeling actually was the season 3 premiere, and everyone got their own solo interviews, and they gave, like, the whole backstory to what we're talking about. So for the people listening, if you're interested, go back, run those numbers up. Those are classic.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lowe.
What was I just gonna say again? About the season 3 premiere. This is like the biggest thing that's destiny too. So the season 3 premiere featured you guys. It was the whole crew.
Yeah, I was actually looking at that the other day.
And if you scroll down to the season 3 finale, the finale was the Almighty Dreadnoughts whole crew too. So it's kind of like something that wasn't even planned out. When you go back and look, and it's like, damn, yo, I'm with that feeling now. I didn't even expect it back then. It was like right in the middle of like the week when MRK. Asked if I wanted to be a part of the team. I was like, I never see that shit coming. Holy shit.
and the thing, thing we've always talked about, you know, nobody can do it alone. You know, you always have to have a team, you know, and, you know, you can't do anything. You can do some things by yourself.
Yeah.
But it's better with a team, you know.
I like how you said that too. Like you can do things by yourself, but you're gonna go a lot farther with a team. I remember I was like trying to put together a team when this first started, but everybody wanted money and stuff like that.
And that's it. You know, money can break up a lot of relationships, man. Yeah. And you know, you always need money.
Yeah.
But when you focus on the top prize and say, okay, money's gonna come, and you know, we always have financial issues, but
yeah,
at the same time, when you still focus on the goal, you know, that money will come. You know, you have to stay focused, because money has broken up a lot of friendships.
It even broke up some of like the best record labels too. Like, I don't know what happened to Rockefeller, but man, that they broke up at the baddest time.
That's right. Money has ruined a lot of people, man.
And that's what a lot of people are driven by, too, because they like, ask me, they're like, so are these people paying you? I'm like, no. They're like, are you making money? It's like, no. They're like, well, what do you do it for? I'm like, I do it for the culture. Like,
that's right. You do it for the culture, you know? Like, you know, it's like me with the Dantape. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you see a lot of mixtapes and, like, a lot of mixtape series out there, Spinrella, a lot of ones. Everybody wants money to put you on the tape, you know. It's like $70, you know. I don't know what the cost of, but it's like who pays for that? Unless you're like really coming up on something, you know. I wouldn't want to pay nobody to put myself on your tape, you know what I mean? Because who says people weren't really gonna listen to it?
Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? And then just like you know, for the culture and willing to put new artists on, they're like, well, if I'm giving you the platform for your music to be heard, I need to make some money. But you're like, man, just put it on, man. The world needs to hear this, man. Free.
Yeah, and that's what I tell all the artists on here. I was like, listen, I said the money's gonna come. Let's get this money together. I said I'm not asking for nothing. I'm just asking for be a part of something, you know, and let's build it up because who knows what could happen with this tape.
Yeah, because like there may be certain songs because you never know what people may gravitate towards. It's like
when that's right.
That's crazy too. Like someone like one song can just change the whole thing and just be off of like a tape like in the den. Like you never know what could take off.
That's right. You never know, man.
You never. Did you acquire some videos as well?
Man, I'm going to record a. We've been talking in some work for a couple of songs on the tape, but the video will come soon. It's just a matter of logistics because we're still working on videos for the Go Get It. Okay. So it's like trying to plan stuff. It's like, man, it's hard, you know. And everybody's busy, man. But I think we are going to do maybe one or two songs from the tape as a video. But, I mean, each artist, you know, like I said, it's all individual artists, so I'm quite sure they have some videos in the work as well. But I will be doing a video with some of the people from the tape, though.
Okay. Because you can actually say this. I can't say this. I've never been in a music video before, but you have. What's it like behind-the-scenes process of, like, filming for a music video? Like what was the experience like for you?
Man, laughter.
That's good to know.
I'm saying that laughter when you have to do certain takes over and over again, it can get frustrating to a certain point. But when you're around the people that you love and you like, it's always fun. You know, you can go back and look at some bloopers and stuff like that. Some days do get long. You know, I think the one of the hardest ones, you know, we've done was the from the EP. I mean, the new project was the I can't think of the name of the song, but we walked up Stone Mountain doing the video. I was like, yo, this is hot. And I was like, oh no, because I had never walked up the mountain before, you know, and you know. I mean, Smitty and Sox had walked up the mountain, and that was for the Work Harder song.
Okay.
And I'm like, we're actually walking up the mountain, and to actually walk up that mountain in the afternoon on a hot day in Atlanta was like really, you had to be prepared for that.
Oh, yeah, trust me, I've been hiking before, man. You got to be prepared for that.
Man, that was like one of the hardest for me, you know, especially for a guy who doesn't exercise and I sit on my ass all day for work. So it's like, you know, to actually get out here and walk up a mountain on a hot day.
It's okay, you and me both, brother. You and me both.
That was hard, but I did it. You know what I mean? We did it. You know, we did it collectively as a team. And that's what at the end of the day, that was the goal. It was like, yo, Mark was like, hey, you got to be proud of yourself when you do it. And I was proud of myself when I did it.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's all about the obstacle and what you can and what you can achieve.
That's right. Yeah, you know, to overcome those obstacles, man, is a beautiful thing.
Have you ever thought about getting into, like, directing videos for, like, music videos for some of yourself?
Man, I have a lot of good ideas. I mean, some of the videos that we recorded with this project, I've shot those ideas out, and to see them come to life was good. But to actually sit down and direct, I don't know. You know, maybe sometime in the future.
Okay.
Could possibly do that.
So that's not off the table.
Nah, that's not off the table.
Okay, but that's always good to know because, like, you never know. Yeah. You could be, like, the next Little X.
Hey, everybody has an imagination. I have a hell of imagination, man. So to turn that imagination into something visual would be dope.
Okay. Do you have a particular favorite song off the den, or is it kind of hard to choose because, like, all of them is your favorite?
Man, looking at the list, man, you know, I think, you know, with Shay Dolla's, the Millie song.
Okay.
And the Millionaire in States, that song, Let's Get It, was kind of was dope.
Yeah, that name, Millionaire Estates, stands the hell out, too.
Yeah, that dope, man. But I think overall favorite, I don't know, man. It's hard to say. Of course, I would say my song. Yeah. You know?
For the people I know, it's titled Booty Shake featuring D-Stone.
Hey, listen to it. Tell me what you think. I had fun making that song, man. I had fun making that song, bro.
When you were actually creating that beat too, like I was curious on like, just sometimes like just a, I call it spurs, like Hove said, because sometimes things just come in spurs.
Yeah.
When you made that beat too, like did it like, wow, yo, I need to hit the studio like now to make this, or was it like something like you were just fooling around in the studio? It's like, damn, this needs to be something.
Yeah, that song came was actually a mistake song. Me and D Stone, I went to his crib, and I'm mobile, so I bring my stuff over to his house, and so I was like, we were just working on some beats. We just got to recording one of his songs for his project, and he wanted to work on another song. He had a sample. I was like, okay, so let me work with this, and I couldn't catch how he wanted to me to, you know, do the sample, lay it down. And, you know, after a while from messing with the sample, it got frustrating. So I was like, hey, let me have some fun with it. So I started messing with the sample, and I was like, hey, I said, okay, I might have something here. So I started building some drums around it. And he was in and out of it. He was tired. I think he just got back from Texas or something like that. But I was like, I had the beat like that. I was like, hey, I said, I might have something here. And I was like, and I kept getting the vibe, like, yo, I said, I think we got something here. I said, hey, see if you can write a hook to it. So I left that night, and he was, the next day, he was supposed to be going back to Texas a day later. And so I was like, hey, we need to drop that hook. So I came back over his crib, and he had the hook down. I was like, oh, shit.
That was fast, damn.
I was like, yo, I said, I think we might have some. Because he was like, yo, he said, I'm messing with it. He didn't really like rap style like that. Okay. But he was like, yo, I'm fucking with it. You know what I mean? He sees the vision of a song. You know, I like all types of music. So, but actually, you know, that song, man, that song was a mistake song turned into something, man. And I like all kinds of music, you know what I mean? Like I said, but, and then, you know, after we put the vocals down, you know, he went back to Texas and I was riding to it. And I was like, hey, I said, I'm taking the second verse. I stopped rapping years ago. You know, I used to rap and sing and all that stuff, but I do it periodically, but not much. But I was like, yo, I'm taking the second verse. I went home, you know, I wrote it with a couple of days, and I wrote the verse in my head, and I was like, hey, I got it. Sent it to him. He was like, oh, shit. He said, I got to get prepared for that one.
Right, I got to sit back, down, smoke, get ready for this.
That right. Then he came back. He laid his vocals down. I was like, oh, shit, I think we got something, man. And that was it. But I think this song takes it back when you listen to it, you know, being from a, you know, from North Carolina, but raised in Atlanta, you know what I mean? Just being here in Atlanta so long, it takes me back to the early 90s, mid 90s of the Atlanta music.
Yes.
That's what it feels like to me. Okay. You know what I mean? It feels like in that era, you know, the 90s.
Yeah, the 90s for the South hip hop was one interesting time too, because like it evolved so much from what it used to be too. Like,
yeah.
I was having this conversation from like at work. I mean, sorry, it wasn't at work. It was on the way home from work. I was telling people about the Scarface, the Fix album. Like, you know, this guy's running for mayor, and like the guy just like he did not know who Scarface was. I was like, you don't know Face? Yeah, you don't know, yeah. Face Mob? Like, this is a Southern legend, but they know T.I. and Jeezy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Scarface, man, is dope. He's always gonna be dope. You know what I mean? I've always looked up to him.
I was curious on your thoughts when you seen him running for mayor.
Hey, man, you know, if he sees calls for change and sees some things that the other mayors ain't doing, or, you know, he sees some things that he has he wants to put a voice for, why not? You know, I don't see anything wrong with it, you know. I think that's a good thing.
I ain't even from there, but he got my vote.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, you know, he's called for a lot of changes, and he has a vision for something. Why not?
And he's actually a man of integrity, too, because when you look at certain people, and, like, they do certain, because this is what I, because I watch interviews as a fan, too, like, I'm not going to fight, I just don't bump my own shit, I'm not Mace. But when I listen to other interviews, I noticed, like, some celebrities, they just don't have no integrity, too. And I'm not saying just hip-hop, like, just celebrities in general.
Yeah.
And it's like, with the older, it's like the older you get, it's like you have two choices to make to your legacy. You can completely throw it away, or you can add on to it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, everybody, you know, being an individual, man, you never know where people heads at in life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people have an objective or whatever their cause, or it's there to please themselves or to please others, you know, but, you know, it's a crazy world we live in, man, and to see people that do dumb shit, it's like, hey, damn, why did you do that? You know what I mean? It's like, it's like, where's your head at, man, you know? But we live in a world of opinions, man. Whether if you're doing too good, there's people hating on you. If you're doing too bad, they're hating on you. So it's like, what the hell do you do? You know? Think about it. If you're doing too good, somebody's got something to say. You know, it's like, if you're doing bad, they got something to say. It's like we live in a judgmental country, man. A judgmental world.
Yeah, that's very true. But we also live in a positive world that doesn't get much light shed on.
Man, the world's beautiful, man. You know, imagine if there was no hate, there was no crime, there was nothing going on but love, man.
Yeah. It'd be so much better.
Man, to tell everybody. it would be crazy.
When you were coming together too and composing your beats too, is there a certain type of machine, a certain type of equipment that you like to use, maybe like an SP-1200, or is everything digital for you as well?
I'm using the MPC Renaissance. I purchased that years ago, I've always liked the MPC series. I'm actually thinking about upgrading. You know, once I start back doing more beats, I probably will upgrade. But right now, I think it serves is justice for what I do. You know what I mean? But the Renaissance, I've always liked the Renaissance, the MPC series, though.
Okay. Have you dibbled and dabbled with any of the software digitally, like Logic or Fruity Loops?
Man, I tried it, but I'm more hands-on.
You actually like using the equipment as opposed to something digital.
Yeah, I actually like to put my hands on it. You know, I think it's more.
It's a different sound because you're actually creating it, not just clicking.
Yeah. There's a difference between creating and just clicking it. You know what I mean? That's what I see. I've always liked to put my hands on stuff.
Okay. See, I was going to ask you, the reason why I asked this question, too, I was like, well, what are your thoughts on these producers selling digital drum kits, too? Because, to be honest, that's why I'm not a producer, because I don't get it. So when I see somebody like, I forget who it was. I think it was Street Runner. He was selling drum kits. But I'm like, I don't get it. I'm going to leave it like that, though.
I mean, you got so many drum kits out there, man. It's like thousands of drum kits out there.
It's like rappers. It's like thousands of rappers out there. There's a thousand drum kits out there.
That's right. Everybody's selling a drum. I'm going to sell a 110 drum kit in a minute. You know, only thing I'm going to do is tweak up the drums a little bit, sell it, put it out there, see what happens. You know, you want to sound like 120, here you go. But, you know what I mean? I think it's a lot of copycat, you know, everything out there, producers and rappers. Same thing goes with producers. You know, it's a lot of copycats out there, you know, but everybody taps into something to make some money.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, you know, money. You know, how do you make money? Because, you know, you spend the money, but you got to make money at the same time. So if you find something that you want to sell, why not? You know, because there might be people that's following you that want to purchase your stuff. You know what I mean? Which is not bad.
Yeah. Because, like, it's never bad when somebody's interested in investing in your product.
Yeah. And that's it, man. You know, to make a name for yourself. You know, I don't see anything wrong with that. But long as you're doing it, you know, for the right reasons, not just for in and out.
Yeah, because you'd be surprised, like, some of people's intentions, too. It's just like, I'm just doing this to make a quick buck. It's like, well, where's the passion?
Yeah, see, and that's the thing, you know, it's like, it's kind of like music, man. It's like, you know, if I was in it for the money, I'd have been done a long time ago. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, but it's for the passion, you know. Passion is everything, man. And, you know, it's like, it's kind of like, you know, you and your podcast, like, you do it for the passion. You know, you love doing what you do, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so...
And it's crazy, too, like, how a producer and a podcaster, they're not that much different, too, because it's a passionate.
Yeah, it's a passion thing, man. I mean, everything is about passion, you know what I mean? But, you, like I said, at the same time, you have to make money some kind of way. But if you're comfortable, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, I don't give a damn if I don't make nothing, but I enjoyed myself.
And for some people, that won't, and like, you kind of be like, well, what do you mean? It's like, man, it's just like, maybe you need some soul searching.
Yeah, that's right. I was listening to your Keith Murray interview the other day, and he said something about that. He was like, yo, but you got to get paid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was like, I do it for the culture, though.
He was like, no, he said, but no, you got to get paid some kind of way.
You know, there's a funny story behind that. You know, he called me the day before that saying, yo, convince me. I was like, oh, man. So I pitched it to him, and then the next day he texts me, and he's like, all right, I'm going to call you. I'm like, okay. And for like a half an hour, we're talking, and then out of nowhere, he's like, all right, I'm ready to do the interview. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
It's like a 30 minutes have passed, my dude, really?
Yeah. And then, well, even after the interview, we're still talking. He's like, we got to like, I really wish I hit still record, because he kept saying, yo, hit record again. I'm like, Mr. Murray, we're done recording. Shout out to Keith Murray, good dude.
Yeah, he had a damn good. I love that listening to that one, man. That was like, cause he was like, man, how the hell did you know that? You know, he was like, I do my history, my search, man. I listen. He said, I love this shit. He was like, he was surprised that you knew that. You know,
yeah, like the Stevie Wonder thing too. He's like, how did you know
Stevie,
that?
Uh-huh, yeah, he was surprised that you know. He's like, man, I follow this shit.
It's like, dude, I know stuff that you probably don't even remember.
That's right.
But that's what I like. But I just want to know things like, as from a fan's perspective too, because everyone's like, yo, you really did the research. I'm like, honestly, I just, it's like what you said, I follow. I just want to know what the fans want to know.
Yeah, I mean, that's right, man, you know.
And
that's right.
And for the people who are listening too, yo, DJ 110 appeared all the way back in January too. We're in September now, and we're still going strong too. So, the audience and the budget. Well, I just bought a laptop, but you know what I mean. But the budget went up a lot more. So we're somewhat on a bigger scale. But for you being a talented producer too, and when people hear the intro and when they hear some of your production too, are you opposed to working with other artists too if they just hit you up too?
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, still here. Can you hear me? Oh, hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, somebody cut him. I'm trying to call me, man.
Oh, okay, my bad. I can cut that part out. I can edit it. I got good at that. We good.
Okay.
So, for when people hear the intro and some of your production, too, and they're like, damn, I need a 110 beat, too, how can they get a hold of you?
Hey, man, you can hit me up, email me at DJ110Y'all@gmail.com or follow me on IG at DJ_110. I always answer my DMs, but I'm looking to put my music out there. I'm always inspired, so inspiration causes me to create. If I'm not inspired, then I don't create as much. You know, I have to find something that's interesting to me. You know what I mean?
It has
to catch me. Yeah, I have to. You know, it's like, intro? Okay, I got you. You know what I mean? I'm always looking for a challenge, you know?
Okay. So, let's say, oh my God, I just want to throw something out of left field. So let's say a reggae artist came up to you and was like, yo, a 110, I need one of those beats from you too. Would you be like, okay, I can maybe do this?
Yeah, I say, why not try it, man? Like I said, I like all types of music, so there's nothing that I wouldn't try or do. You know, I'm not saying I'm an expert in that, you know, that genre or whatever, but yeah. I love music so much. Yeah, I'm down with it.
Because, like, you never know what you can do if you just try it, too, because you can make probably the dopest reggae beat if you put your mind to it, too. And it's like, wow, yo, this blew up way bigger than I ever thought it did.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm going to send you some of my, some of me and Smitty's alternative rock music. You never heard that before, but I'm going to send you some stuff you should do, man. You don't know that side of us.
Yeah, no, I do.
I'm going to send it to you and let you check it out, and that's a conversation in the next podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you and Smitty are still doing the album as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, Smitty got an album of Clint, album of you, Jesus.
Yeah, me and Smitty, me and Smitty, our album's going to be pushed back a little bit further, but Smitty's got an album coming out, I forgot the title of it, but that's going to be dropping soon, and he's got the album with Clint Taylor, Itis. But, me and Smitty, you know, we always working on something, man. We'll probably release that the first of the year, but, it'll be different. It'll be far different from what, you know, you normally hear us do.
But it shows diversity as artists.
Oh, yeah, man. Me and Smith, like I said, we love music, you know. And like I said, you hear it, man. You can tell it's not a gimmick. It's not for show. This is actually real.
Wow. Because I like how you said you love music, too. I'm just getting into the doors, too, because... Like, everybody who I'm talking to, like, I'm like, what kind of music do you listen to? They say The Doors. I'm like, yo, I'm going to have to check these dudes out, too. Are you into The Doors?
I love Doors. I love music.
I just can't get over the fact, like, the name is The Doors, though. It's just like, damn, they got some dope music, but I just can't get over the name.
Yeah, man, you know, I'm not one-dimensional, man. I love music. Like I said, I can listen to everything. You know, I can listen to everything. And I've actually produced a lot of things, man, a lot of genres. So,
have you ever played, like, guitar before and recorded it?
No. I mean, my hands are, like really small. I've tried to play the guitar. I'm not built for that.
Okay. Well, you'd be surprised too, like how some instruments, like a piano, it's like, damn, I have no idea how to play. I'm gonna just stay away from this.
Yeah. Now I play certain chords, you know, piano, you know, with special producing. I'm not gonna say I'm an expert at it.
Yeah.
But I have played in front of people before. I was nervous as hell.
I don't blame you.
I played in a wedding one time with a piano. I was like, oh shit, what the hell am I doing? But I did it, you know, so I did it.
And 110 keys at the wedding, yo.
Hey, man. if I took that seriously, more seriously, then I'll probably be an expert at it. But, you know, it's one of those things to where you have to discipline yourself.
Yes.
You know, discipline. If you don't discipline yourself, then you never do it. So, and I've learned that about that. It's like, hey, I could put shit together with piano, no problem. But to actually do shit, that's okay. You know, people ask, so I've been asked to join bands and stuff, you know, to, you know, out in around Atlanta. But I was like, nah, I'm not that good enough to play like that. I could play some filler shit, you know what I mean? Because it's a vibe. Everything's about a vibe,
yes.
You know, with piano. But don't give me a solo. I will fuck that shit up.
I'll play with the band, but the solo not yet.
That's right. Don't say, it's your turn. Don't do that to me. Don't do it.
It's like, wow, I'm not ready for this.
That's right. You're going to get what you asked for.
So when you're listening to other music too, is there any instrumental albums that are currently your favorite right now? Because I keep coming back to that Pete Rock Return of the SP-1200. So I was curious on your take on when producers release instrumental albums and if you like them.
Honestly, man, I'm so lost with the world right now. You know, people just like when we have conversations like Mark, you know, Beast and Smash Hits, they're always naming these albums. They listen to a lot of shit. I don't listen to a lot of stuff, honestly. Okay. You know, and trust me, you know, and that's like it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. You know what I mean? You know, I've learned to I've always been tuned out from a lot of things in the world. You know, but there are certain things that I do listen to now. You know, I do listen to some shit. But when some people say, "Hey, did you hear?" I'm like, "No, I don't know what the hell that is."
But at least you keep it real. I'm like, "Yeah, I listen to it."
Nah, I'm not gonna tell you something. I don't know what the hell it is. You know, it's like, and that was the hardest thing about, you know, getting back to DJing. You know, because I've always like listened to my shit or the team shit or somebody's shit that I knew. But you know, when I got back to the DJ side, I was like, I don't know who the hell that is. I don't know.
Who the hell's Guap Dad?
Yeah, I'm getting requests for stuff. Like, I don't know who the hell it is. I don't listen, you know, because I was always tuned out from the world. You know what I mean? That was the hardest part about that shit. You know what I'm saying? But I've learned to do more things, you know, and put my ear back out there to the world, to the streets. So I will be listening to some instrumentals pretty soon, but other than that, it's focused on what I need to do and my team, because you know, I think me listening to everything else, it kind of hurt my sound. You know, I try to have my own distinctive sound, and you might hear some similarities in some things, but I stay away from that. So that was like one of the creative process for me, not to listen to a lot of shit. You know, that way my brain is fresh. You know what I mean? And if I do it, it's like, it's truly me producing it. Not say, hey, I got a spot for this beat. I'm going to do this beat. This is a so-and-so type beat. You won't hear that from me. You know, because this shit's like, hey, this is what I do.
Well, it's like what you said, too. It's because, like, you may hear, like, if you're listening to, like, a lot of music, because music is released, like, crazy consuming at once, too. And it may affect your sound, too. But if you only stick to what you like, and listen to only what you listen to, that can benefit you, is like what you said too, because it won't affect your sound.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, well that's very interesting. That's very also humbling to hear too, because you're not out here force feeding everything that's released.
Yeah, of course.
Because a lot of people, they just listen to things once, never come back to it. It's like, this is a this is a work of art. You need to like go back and hear some things that you never heard.
That's right.
Well, 110, it's like what you said, third time's the charm. We've been trying to do this for a while right now, but I'm glad we did it. We lived it. We finally did it.
Like lower set of time. Like, he hit me up later. I'm like, I'm in bed, man. I got to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and like, I got to remember, too, all the people have lives, too. It's like, but when I'm trying to get home from work, it's like, man, I got to remember, these people are 2 hours ahead of me. So I'm over here thinking it's the same time. How I'm like, oh wait, he's on the Latin time.
I was like, yo, this dude's got the big head. He's wanting me to kiss his ass or something. Like, takes his time. No, like, you waiting on me. I run the podcast.
No, it's like half the time. Like when I'm home, I'm recording. I don't even like hear anything else. And just like when I'm at work, I'm running home to try to record, because like it'd be 7:30. I'm like, yo, it's like 10 o'clock over there almost. I need to get home.
You can't do that.
But that's why Sundays, though. Sundays is the best time to ever catch me, though.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sundays, I mean, yeah, I'm usually like, I mean, I'm typically free 5 o'clock my time. Okay. You know, up until maybe 9. It just depends on my body.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a tendency of staying up late and not getting the proper sleep, so.
And then you got to get up for work, and it's like, you're so tired. It's like, damn.
So lately, I've just been trying to, you know, get my proper rest and go to bed early. So that's why you've been, like, chasing me. Like, hey, man. It's like, no, I'm tired.
And for all the people listening to, it's nothing with you. It's me and my time, though, because sometimes I work in an industry where the function isn't always ended when it's supposed to end. It's like, my God, I'm trying to make destiny happen, people.
But, I know that's right.
But like you said, this is family, so anytime you want to come up, support, and promote something, I got you. But best time, on a Sunday. Let's try to aim for Sundays.
That's right. Hey, I appreciate this today, man. I had a, you know, and I always told you I'm a man of very few words, and you actually got me to talk longer than I thought I was going to talk.
Yeah, I actually thought that because the last time we talked, it was like maybe like 22 minutes. I looked at the time like, damn, we've been talking for almost an hour. I really got to talk a lot more than last time.
Wow, man. Yeah, that's an improvement, Daddy. You all right.
But I think, too, when people actually hear this, too, I get more appreciation for your work as well.
Yeah.
But like, damn, he's just like me, kind of.
Yeah, hey, man, I had a good time, man. And you know, it's always good to talk to the home team as well, so.
Yes, sir. Well, like I said, I'm going to try for another dad feeling. Party collective episode sometime in November, December.
Okay.
And then, but if you want to come back on and you promote something, just let me know and then we'll make it happen.
Sounds good, brother.
So before we go, is there anything that you want to plug in before I let you go one time?
Dentate One, streaming everywhere. Guys, check it out. If you don't know how to get it, hit me up in a DM. DJ_110 or email me at DJ110y'all@gmail.com. Or hit up Lo. He know how to get in contact with me. Yes. But listen to the Dentate One and let me know your thoughts. Give me some feedback.
I'm telling you, when y'all hear like Touchdown with North Street, you're gonna be like, I don't have to sit down and listen to this whole thing.
I appreciate that, brother.
I appreciate you, too. Well, with that being said, this is another classic in the return of family from the Desk Low, featuring my guy, DJ 110.
Peace.
So I just